At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It was Sean Kingsley and Rex Cowan. Sean Kingsley, the marine historian, Rex Cowan, the archaeologist and shipwreck hunter, and both of them have come across The Pirate King, The Strange Adventures of Henry Avery, and The Birth of the Golden Age of Piracy. There's a scene that they wonderfully present of Tennyson, the man, the churchman, who's at the end of the dead drop for the letter that we saw Avery writing in Falmouth. Tennyson and Defoe and Avery, Avery in disguise, coming out of a play in London in 1719, I believe, or maybe it was 1712, yes. And a play about Avery the pirate, although it's vaguely described as by Charles Johnson, and the man has a pseudonym that's meant to be Avery. Everybody gets the joke because everybody's looking for Avery. He's got a bounty on his head, but most importantly, he has a treasure that he's hidden somewhere. They all want to know where he is. They come laughing out of the play. And Rex, I come to you. Defoe wrote that play, didn't he? Did you know that Defoe was making all this up and they were laughing all the time?
Not at all. In fact, I knew very little by the time that I'd looked at that. I hadn't been really interested either. I mean, what has interested me is just how much I didn't know and how much I didn't imagine would come out of this this find and discovery. Otherwise, I might have wasted a lot more of my life pursuing things which I wasn't capable of pursuing, and which Sean has done in a remarkable fashion to entertain me as well as, I think, other people who are going to read the book. I think what we've found is another aspect of the product of piracy, the people who go into it. They're too often rather simplistically described as either villains or rapists. I think actually Avery was described as a gentleman pirate in some accounts, because whilst his men were busy raping and robbing up low, he was down in his cabin reading something intelligent. So what this has really done is to, I think, open up another aspect of this motley bag of disparate people who are labeled as pirates, their incentives. Here was one who was heavily political, you know, who was really intelligent, who sought to enlarge his life. He was not at all the swashbuckling story that's given on the streets as a sort of tabloid description.
Let me read from Defoe, which describes what you're explaining, Rex. This is Defoe after all of the adventures. He writes, "I hope the gentleman won't be offended that by a slip I had like to have given some of them their true names of the pirates in his story. I am not about to point them out nor paint them out. It would make a sad chasm on the Exchange of London if all the pirates should be taken away from among the merchants there, whether we understood to speak of your literal or allegorical pirates." Sean, he's twisting the knife right towards the point that he makes, who's a pirate and who's not a pirate.
It is an immense irony that just makes me chuckle. You know, it's November 1712, and Charles Johnson's successful pirate is showing in great fanfare in London. And in this play, they're presenting Henry Avery as living on the island of Madagascar with the Mughal emperor's granddaughter, yet there he is sitting at the back of this play still alive. And, you know, kudos to Daniel Defoe, and I hope people realize now that he just wasn't the writer of, you know, Robinson Crusoe. He was he was one of the world's first great spies, an incredible thinker. And, you know, it does beg a belief. You've got three of the most colourful characters of England at the time, you know, in this unholy alliance designed to protect king and country from the threat of popery, Catholics, and conspiracies at home. All very different, but all completely unified. And yeah, you know, a lot of the academics, they pored over all these texts, all about Henry VIII the Pirate, and there's a lot of them, from ballads to plays to books. And they said, well, Daniel Defoe couldn't have written this, and he couldn't have written that because the style is so different. No, that's what he did. It was deliberate. This is a guy who one day he was Daniel Defoe, one day he was Claude Guyot, the other one he was Alexander Goldsmith. They say he had 100 pseudonyms, and he'd write left hand, or he'd dress up as a woman, right, you know, to take a pamphlet to, it, you know, it's incredible. They did whatever they had to do to keep the land safe.
And there's still talk of a treasure somewhere. The Pirate King, The Strange Adventures of Henry Avery and the Birth of the Golden Age of Piracy, Sean Kingsley and Rex Cowan. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.